Ghost Bells by Douglas J. Ebach. In the town of Normal, Pennsylvania, there's a little church at the corner of Wilson and Elm. Every Sunday, the choir meets an hour before church to warm up. Last Sunday, new choir member Audra Park arrived 10 minutes late, dragging her 6-year-old son Tyler behind her. "I'm sorry," Audra told choir director Shane Reed. "We encountered a little problem on the drive over." "We saw a bank robbery," Tyler said, "and had to help the police catch the criminals."
"Really?" Shane asked. "You caught bank robbers?"
"Yeah, right," Audra laughed. "Actually, we got stuck behind a fender bender. Tyler has a bit of an active imagination."
"Of course," Shane chuckled. "I was just playing along." He quickly busied himself with some sheet music, hoping nobody noticed the redness he could feel on his cheeks.
Audra sent Tyler down to the Sunday school rooms while she joined the choir for the rest of the warm-up. After running through the hymns they were going to perform that morning, the choir headed back to the choir room to put on their robes. Shane watched Audra as she checked her long, silky black hair in the mirror. Shane had met Audra when he was volunteering at the Normal food pantry on Christmas. Audra had been unemployed for several months and brought Tyler to the pantry for a Christmas dinner that was nicer than she could afford to provide at home. After hearing Audra sing carols, Shane invited her to join the church choir. Audra's lovely voice wasn't the only reason he was interested in her. Shane was divorced. 62-year-old Dale Winslow, a longtime member of the choir, sidled up to Shane.
"The new girl sure is pretty, isn't she?" Dale said.
Yeah, I guess so," Shane replied.
"Single, too, I understand."
"Is she?
Why don't you ask her out?"
Well, Shane stammered.
"Come on," Dale chuckled. "It's clear you like her, and she obviously likes you, too."
"Do you think so?"
"She's been looking at you the same way you look at her. Go on, ask her out."
"Maybe after church," Shane said. Downstairs at about this time, 4-year-old Mary Boyer arrived at the classroom for the Guppies' preschool Sunday school class. She found Tyler building an elaborate city of blocks in the corner.
"Who are you?" she asked.
"My name's Tyler," he replied.
"How old are you?"
6. Mary put her hands on her hips.
"You are not supposed to be in this class. You're too old."
"I was just checking to see if the ghost was in here," he told her.
"What ghost?"
"Didn't you know? There's a ghost in the church. My mom is a ghost hunter and I help her. That's why we're here, to catch the ghost. But it's a secret, so don't tell anyone."
"How do you catch a ghost?" Mary asked, her eyes wide.
"You throw salt on it," Tyler said. Just then, Karen Winslow, the Guppies' teacher and Dell's wife, noticed them.
"There you are, Tyler," she said. "You need to go to the goldfish room across the hall."
"Okay," Tyler replied. Then he whispered to Mary.
"Let me know if you hear the ghost. You can tell when it's around because it carries a bell."
"Gotcha," Mary whispered back. All during the church service, Shane watched Audra and thought about what Dell said. Once during the sermon, Audra glanced over at him and Shane quickly looked away. His eyes met Dell's, who gave him a wink and a grin. Shane blushed. After the service, the congregation gathered in the social hall for coffee hour. Shane got a cup of coffee and a couple of cookies and found Audra. He made a little nervous small talk, trying to work up the courage to ask her out. Dell sauntered by and gave Shane an encouraging nudge in the back with his elbow. Shane opened his mouth to suggest that he and Audra have dinner sometime, but before he could speak, choir member Celia Simmons trundled over.
"Excuse me," Celia said. "I have something to give Audra. I was cleaning out my pantry and found some canned fruit that I'm not going to use. I thought you might like it."
Celia held out a plastic grocery bag.
"That's not necessary," Audra said, forcing a smile. She wished she hadn't met Shane the way she did. She knew Celia meant well, but it was embarrassing having everyone think of her as a charity case.
"Nonsense," Celia replied. "I know how expensive canned fruit is these days. Frankly, it's a travesty, what these politicians are doing to our economy."
"Thank you," Audra said, grabbing the bag. She thought accepting the handout would be better than enduring a long political speech.
Meanwhile, across the room, Mary found Tyler sitting on a couch, drinking a cup of juice.
"Look," she said, holding out her hands. They were full of little salt packets. "I got these from the kitchen so I can help you catch the ghost."
"Good work," Tyler said. "We'd better open them now so we're ready when we find it." The two kids diligently tore open the tiny packets and dumped the contents into their pockets. When they each had a pocket full of salt, they set off to look for the ghost. Audra might have successfully curtailed Celia's rant about the economy, but Celia had simply shifted to a rant about the post office. Audra spotted Tyler heading out of the social hall with Mary.
"Excuse me," she said. "I think I better find out what my son is up to."
Celia nodded and shifted her full attention to Shane. Shane watched Audra go down the hall, silently cursing himself for missing his opportunity. And that's when Dell came to Shane's rescue.
"Shane," he said with a wink, "I think Pastor O'Donnell was looking for you."
"Thank you," Shane said. He hurried after Audra as Dell engaged Celia in a conversation about the subpar performance of the city's snowplows. Tyler and Mary had decided the church library would be a good place to start their ghost hunt.
We should hide so we don't scare it away, Tyler said. Mary nodded. She wasn't sure why the ghost would be scared of them, but Tyler was the expert and she didn't want to expose her ignorance. The two kids crawled behind an overstuffed chair. A few moments later, Audra poked her head into the library and called out Tyler's name. Tyler peeked out from behind the chair.
Go away, Mom, he said. We're hunting ghosts.
At this point, several things happened in quick succession. Shane had seen Audra go into the library and followed her. As he entered, his cell phone rang. His ringtone was a peal of bells, which he found ironically amusing. But Mary heard the bells and assumed the ghost had arrived. She jumped out from behind the chair and hurled a handful of salt toward the ringing. The salt hit Shane in the face, temporarily blinding him. He stumbled back, banging his head on the doorway.
Shane, Audra cried as he fell to his knees.
I'm okay, he assured her as he swiped at his eyes with his sleeve. At least I will be when I can see again.
Sorry, Mr. Reed, Mary said. I thought you were the ghost.
Okay, enough playing, Audra said. There are no ghosts in the church.
Good, we must have chased it away, Tyler declared.
Audra helped Shane to his feet.
Are you sure you're okay?
I'm fine, he replied, trying to look suave despite the tears pouring down his cheeks.
Were you looking for me? She asked.
Shane glanced down at the two kids. No, he lied. I was just getting a book.
Oh, okay, Audra said. Well, I think it's time for Tyler and me to get home. Come on, kids.
Audra took Tyler and Mary by the hand and led them back into the social hall. Shane went to the kitchen and wrapped some ice in a dish rag for the bump that was growing on the back of his head. Dell found him there.
So, Dell said, I saw Audra leave. Did you ask her out?
Not exactly, Shane said. I was foiled by a ghost. Dell just shook his head. He simply did not understand the younger generation.